Here in this portion of God's Word, the Apostle Paul spends the first 8 verses. He is answering various questions and objections that are made regarding living according to the law of God as the Jews were, and what's the advantage that the Jews have. And the Apostle Paul says that there is a blessing upon them. There is an advantage that the Jews had. And to what extent, he says, the fact that they were channels, they were custodians, they were the people through whom the word of God came. It says that they to them were committed the oracles of God. God spoke to them as a nation and as a people. He sent them prophets and so on. And of course, through the Jewish people, the Savior of the world came forth. But is there any more? He goes on to argue, and he says that they are in the same position as the Gentiles, spiritually speaking, in the sense that they are still under sin. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And he goes on arguing the fact that yes, they have more light, but that light makes them even more guilty in the sight of God. So what's the state? What's their condition? What should we do then? How should we view the Jewish people? We should see them as we see anyone else, in one sense, that they are in need of salvation. If they die in their sins, however blessed they have been, they will die and be condemned. But what about the Gentiles who did not have all of these benefits? The same applies to them. They need to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These oracles that have now come down to us, and we have the Bible in our hands, dear friends. But of course, the great glory of God is that through Jesus Christ, there are people who are being saved and being joined to His church. And what a glory it is that God is blessing His church throughout the world. And ultimately, in time to come, the Jewish people as well will be awakened again and would receive Jesus Christ, many of them. And so we are looking for better days for Israel. But my friends, that comes through the Gentiles as they publish the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what he finishes with is the condition of all men. He says, sin affects every part of us, and it affects the heart. It begins with the heart. Then it goes and affects every part of our lives. He talks about, in verse 13, of the throat, the tongue, the lips, the mouth, the feet. All of these things are affected. Every part of us is affected. And there is no fear, he says in verse 18, before their eyes. We are living in a country, dear friends, that the fear of God is not there upon the people. And it is something that we ought to be praying for and be concerned for ourselves. Do we have the fear of God? Do we realize how great God is and how answerable you and I are before God? We are seeing a nation that is crumbling morally. We thank God, and we ought to be thankful to God what has taken place in the past few days in the United States with the overturning of the abortion laws that meant that the state was to support abortion, and there are legal implications there. But how sad it is that in our country, our taxpayers' money is going to shed blood of the innocent children. And our NHS is providing that service to us. In one room, they're saving lives. In another room, blood is being shed. And all of this is pointing at what verse 18 says. There is no fear of God before their eyes. But my friends, all of these things changes when the gospel of Jesus Christ enters into our hearts. There was a time I had no concerns. I used to say, well, abortion, homosexuality, this and that and the other thing, is right. It is man's right. But the issue was, I had no fear of God. I was deceived and deceiving myself. I really didn't love God and didn't love men either. But when the gospel of Jesus Christ enters in, then we have the right understanding of who God is and how we must be before Him. Well, may the Lord help us then, dear friends, to really seek the Lord and ask God's blessing upon ourselves as a people and also our nation too. Let us pray.